Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Native Deodorant. For 20% off your first purchase, visit nativedeodorant.com and use promo code GHOST during checkout. Hope everybody is doing their best right now as we're going through this crazy time in our world. I'm Tony Bruschi, host of Real Ghost Stories Online. I wanted to invite you and let you know about our other brand new podcast that we just launched, Help Kill the Time for You. It's called The Dark Side of Wikipedia. It's about true crime and dark history. We dive into some of the strangest, most disturbed minds and experiences from our history and examine their story, their Wikipedia entry, and then discuss the cases, the individuals, and the psychology of the events as we go through each and every story. Some of our first episodes include Ed Gein, the BTK killer, the New London school explosion, Amityville murders, Richard Speck, Amelia Dyer, the General Slocum disaster, Jeffrey Dahmer, and more. New episodes every single week. Check out Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search it. Subscribe wherever you download podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and more. It's available now with new episodes every single week. Dark Side of Wikipedia. Search and subscribe today and stay safe out there. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, phone lines are open. It's Real Ghost Stories from real people with open lines. 855-853-4802 to call and share your real ghost story with us.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is, 855-853-4802, the number. Write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you like a program, help support it and keep it on the air. Become an extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Your support gets you a bonus episode every single week exclusively for EPPs, some of our best ghost stories on those. Access to our archive of almost 300 of those episodes. An ebook, Amazon bestselling book, Real Ghost Stories, Haunting Encounters Told by Real People. You get that. You get the audiobook version as well and a whole bunch of other extras. Ghostpodcast.com. Or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get in on all of that. Tony and Jenny Bruschi joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
I got the garden going yesterday, which I'm excited about.
Mm-hmm.
Did a little digging. Found a couple bones, femur, and all good.
Good times.
Have you ever, you don't really garden much. I was going to say, have you ever gardened? Have you ever dug into the ground fearing that you're going to find a body? Or I know you had the camping trip when you were a kid.
Where and I did.
You came across an urn.
No, I'm not like a vegetable gardener. I like to plant perennials. So you plant it once and then it doesn't die and doesn't go away and it just blooms. So my gardening is maybe every few years.
Mm-hmm.
I have not found anything other than earthworms. So.
Is that in the back of your mind, though, every time you go and dig into the ground? Because when you were a child, you had this experience. And if you're just joining us in the world of Real Ghost Stories, give the 60-second version of what happened.
Using a metal detector in the mountains, we found remains in a brass box.
There you go.
So, no, I haven't had that be a fear. For one, I've already done that. And then two...
Check it off the list.
Yeah. I mean, they were a good 3 feet in the ground. I don't anticipate, unless we're planting trees, digging that far into the ground for anything. So I'm not that worried.
That was quite a dig.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And the thing is, the metal detector kept getting louder and louder the closer we got to it. So, of course, my dad was going to keep digging.
Wow.
So, totally fun time.
Yeah. Okay. I was just wondering if...
no.
Go hide random things around the yard.
Mm-mm.
Or could you get bones that look like people bones to hide that aren't real?
I don't know, because the plastic ones are so fake looking.
I know. The peoplebonestore.com or something?
You'd have to get one of those old skeletons from school.
Yeah, a lot of those were fake. Mm-hmm. And then I did find some were actually real.
Right.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
Did you ever have a real one in your room?
If we did, I didn't realize it was a real one.
Yeah. That's a creepy thing to think about.
Yeah.
That skeletons were, before they did the fake ones, quite a few were actually that's a dead person you have hanging there in the closet for anatomy class.
I actually dropped my college anatomy class because I did not want to have to do the cadaver dissection.
Was it person cadaver?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I couldn't do
it. It was required, so I dropped my class and I never took anatomy.
You're probably not missing much. I mean, unless you're going into the medical field, why the fuck is that something that should be taken anyhow?
Oh, well, if you do any kind of nursing or...
Well, yeah, if you're going into the medical field, yes. But I'm saying if you're not going into the medical field.
Well, my associate's degree actually was in, allied health. So I could be an assistant to like a chiropractor or things like that.
Okay, so you were kind of in that, on that road.
Yeah.
On that direction.
Yeah.
Where that would make sense. Okay, I get it.
Right.
I was just thinking, like, if you're going for like anything other than anything remotely medical related, why would that be something that you should be doing in school?
No, I was somewhat on the medical road.
Okay. I actually didn't know that.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Well, there you go. I drew the line at fetal pigs.
Oh.
That was where it was like, yeah. I can't do this. This is pretty gross. And it was more so the... this was in high school. It was the smell of the formaldehyde that they would put that stuff in. They don't do that. It's like it's stored in something else now, isn't it? Where it's no longer as deadly smelling as the formaldehyde.
I don't know. I haven't dissected anything since high school.
We should just get some stuff to dissect around the house and just see what it comes in, just for the fun of it.
Nope.
Hide Skittles in it. Like, look, Skittles.
I tell you what, on that day in harp school, when it's like, hey, let's dissect cow lungs, not going to be the parent volunteer.
No.
No.
No way. No way, no. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hi, my name is Brian. I come from a small town by Dayton, Ohio. It's crazy. I've actually just listened to you guys since yesterday, but I think I've gone through about 30 episodes, and it's actually made me feel more comfortable about talking about this. It made me feel less weird because I've always been someone who, I guess the word is sensitive towards spirits or ghosts or whatever they are. I've always kind of always felt like I've either been watched, or I always feel when there's a different presence in the room that no one else can see. And, you know, this show has been awesome and makes me feel less weird about that stuff. But three stories, two of them super short and the one kind of more detailed. My first one I'd like to talk about is with my grandma. She was like my mom growing up, and she passed away a few years ago. And I was still living, me and my mom were still living in her house that she lived in. And it was a couple nights after her funeral, and it was just like any other night. You know, I don't really think a lot about ghosts unless, you know, I feel like there's a presence. And I'm sitting there asleep, and then around, it was 3-something at night, I wake up, and my grandma is right next to my bed just staring at me. And you know, you wake up and your dead grandma's right there. First thing I do, turn on my light, and she's not even there. And that was weird. And then the second story I have, I work at a small theater that at the time was going through changes. They just got bought out, and the whole process of the changeover wasn't happening yet. But it was in that beginning process. And me and my buddy who worked there at the time, we were just sitting there on one of the benches, and there's the ropes that, you know, kind of direct people where to go. We were just sitting there, and all of a sudden, one of the ropes just suddenly fell to the ground. out of nowhere. And these things have like the hooks where you would have to like physically go up and unhook it for it to drop. So first thing we did, we ran upstairs, got on the cameras, and rest assured, you can actually see it lift up a little bit and then just fall to the ground. And I have tons of those stories, but I could call in another day for that. Main story I want to tell, a little bit of, this one's a little bit longer. One day I was at my friend's house and it was in high school, and I always like stayed at his house, and you know, we always stayed at his dad's house. His parents were separated, but his dad's house was kind of the more fun house. Nothing against his mom's, you know, she was very nice, but there was a little bit more freedom, and when you're a teenager, that's all you really care about. Anyway, we always like had weird feelings while we're there, especially his dog. There'd be times where his dog would just start looking into like the hallway of the house and just start growling, and we always got freaked out about that. And then one summer, his sister had moved out. She was going to college, so he was taking over a room in the basement. And to understand this part of the story, I got to get a little descriptive. Pretty much, there was the staircase, and underneath the staircase, there was pillows, blankets, stuff like that, just storage underneath the stairs. And right, the first thing after the stairs was a little workout area, but I mean, there was like a lot of stuff there. They had treadmills, the bike, free weights, bench press, just, you know, it's a home little workout center. And from there was the furnace and all, you know, the rest of the everything that goes to the furnace. And then there was the washer and dryer and like a toilet with a sink. And then on the all the way from there was Ethan's room that was also connected to a little computer room that had just been built and made, walled up. The two rooms were connected, but they were separated by one of those sliding plastic doors that kind of accordion when you have to open them. Well, one night, staying the night, just like I have tons of times, and we were in the basement, and like I said, right underneath the staircase was where all the storage was, and then his room was all the way on the other side, which if I had to put feet to it, it'd probably be like 40 feet from the staircase. I don't know, I'm not really good with measurements, but there's a good amount of distance, as you can tell from everything that was in between the bedroom and the stairs. Well, I was there grabbing stuff, you know, to get ready to go to bed, and I hear very distinctly, "Hey, Brian," just like that. It was kind of like it sounded distant enough to where it might have been my friend, and then but it was still weird. So I go, "Yeah," he said, "What?" And he's like kind of, you know, raising his voice, like, "What?" Because, you know, the amount of distance between his room and the stairs. I said, "Did you just say my name?" He says no, and we both get this shocked look on our face. I grab everything that I needed and just booked it to his room and shut the door. Then, you know, nighttime comes, and he was always the person that would have to sleep with the TV playing, and I was more of a, "Oh, I need silence when I sleep." So he was fast asleep, and I was sitting there, and where I was laying was right next to the TV, so after I could tell he was asleep because I could hear him snoring, I turn off the TV, and his dog, Drake, was sitting on my lap, and then he went and laid on my legs, and I fell asleep. In the middle of the night, I just randomly woke up because I had one of those feelings that I was being watched, and all of a sudden, I see Drake's head come up, and he's looking at the divider between Ethan's bedroom and the computer room. And I'm sitting there, you know, obviously I just woke up, so I'm like trying to like focus, and I look towards the thing where he's looking and whimpering, and all of a sudden the divider is wide open, and I could see it looked like maybe a man, a very tall man, who was all I could see was like just the silhouette. It was black, and I was trying to like focus on it. And then this is the part that gets crazy. The door slams, and not even 1 second after that door slammed shut, I hear footsteps running up the stairs. As I described earlier, this was a pretty big basement, and there was a lot of stuff between his room and the stairs, and it would have been physically impossible for any human to be able to... Oh, God, sorry. Getting goosebumps here. It would have been physically impossible for a human to slam that door and be able to run up that stairs right after, because it doesn't add up. And yeah, it was just like, after that, you know, I was pretty shook up. I stayed awake for a little bit, but then, you know, I turned on this little lamp and I went back to sleep. And then in the morning, you know, my buddy, he asked why the light was on and stuff, and then why his dog was kind of hiding, and I explained to him what I witnessed. And finally, you know, we were like, you know what, let's talk to your dad about it. We told his dad about everything we've witnessed, and we found out that the person that owned the house before they bought it actually passed away in the house. And the more when we heard that, it all just kind of clicked with us. Of course, you know, he was kind of skeptical and said, there's no ghost, there's no such thing as ghosts, but it was something that has always stuck in my head and has always stuck with me. And it's from that point on, you know, I started doing a little amateur investigating. I don't have nearly any good equipment, but I, you know, I go to places and I, you know, when I sense something, you know, I know that there's something around. And I've had plenty of other experiences, especially at my old job. But yeah, just again, thank you guys for having this podcast. I don't know how everyone else feels, but it is kind of a reassuring thing to know that you're not the only one out there experiencing a lot of these situations, these abnormalities, if you will, or whatever it is. Thank you, and hopefully this will make it on the air so someone else can know that, hey, you're not crazy. They're just other people out there. Thank you.
Here's your long distance dedication.
No.
You are not alone. Another day is... Oh, damn.
Stop
it. Gonna break in a little MJ there.
No, I'm glad he found us, because that's what the bulk of our people that submit stories are in, that same boat. They sense energies, you know. Mm-hmm. We have some on all different ends of the spectrum there as far as their abilities on the paranormal. But yeah, no, this is definitely, you're not alone, and you're not crazy. And I'm not going to sing the song, even though you're looking at me, Tony, like I should sing the song.
You are not alone.
Stop.
I am here with you.
No, I'm just glad he found it, because just to have that reassurance that there's others, it makes all the difference.
It does. I mean, I know I'm being silly, but...
You are.
No,
being an ass.
I got the damn song stuck in my head.
That's what you get.
You know, you're not alone, and I am here with you.
Shut up.
Though you're far away, I am here to stay.
Okay.
You're not alone. You're not alone! But it's true. That's what we do our show for. Mm-hmm. So I can sing random songs and people feel cathartically not alone.
That's not what helps people.
The songs?
Your songs are not what helps people.
I like to think there's a pie.
No.
of what's helping people. I'm at least a small slice.
Nope.
There's a small, just a little like, I'm going to just taste the pie.
Your singing doesn't even, it's not even an ingredient in the pie. So.
Oh, it's like at least the crumble.
No, it's not.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. It's crumble with brown sugar in it, because that's the best type of crumble, where it's, you know, kind of crunchy and sweet.
Nope.
All right, back to our ghost stories in just a moment. First, I need to thank our supporter today, Native Deodorant. These guys are awesome. I've been using them now for a couple years, and what a quality product this is. And right now, more than ever, I've always appreciated the to-your-door delivery where it just shows up on a regular basis. You don't have to, like, go, oh, crap, I'm out of that. I need to go to the store and get more, because obviously right now, that's not such a great option. Native Deodorant comes right to your door. Yes, it's a great thing. It's free shipping. And you, if you've never tried it before, they're going to give you that 30-day return guarantee. That's 30 days free returns and exchanges in the USA. Free shipping on every single order as well. No risk to try. Let's talk about the product, though, other than just the convenience of it. Because, I mean, I love the convenience, but the product itself, it's great stuff. Many conventional deodorants, let's just put this into perspective, they contain aluminum. It forms a plug in your sweat glands, and it keeps you from sweating. Yeah, nothing like sweating up or plugging up your glands with aluminum, right? So Native doesn't do that. Yes, you can feel good about it. Right now, obviously, we're all thinking about health and in more ways than one. And this is a good thing. It's safe. Native deodorant is formulated without aluminum. Parabens are talc. It's also vegan and never tested on animals. And its ingredients, you know. It's made with the things you've heard of, like coconut oil, shea butter. You wear deodorant every day. Shouldn't you be able to understand the ingredient list? Yes. Trust me, if you've given up on deodorant while you're staying at home, your family is begging you, please wear some more deodorant. You can't completely give up on the deodorant. The stuff is great. Great scents, too, including their classics and rotating seasonals. You're guaranteed to find one you love. Classic scents include coconut and vanilla. That's the most popular. Lavender and rose. Cucumber and mint. Eucalyptus and mint. And there's more. Native comes in a wide variety of options for men, women, and even teens. They even offer unscented options, baking soda-free formulas for those with sensitivities. And like I said, free shipping on every order. Native offers 30-day free returns and exchanges in the USA. Over 9,000 five-star reviews from happy customers who made the switch to Native. Check it out for yourself. Like I said, it's just great stuff, and I love how this stuff comes right to you. They even have toothpaste now. So there's another thing. You're sitting there going, I need to get some toothpaste. Hey, add that to the order too. It's a great stuff. Two minty flavors with the option of fluoride or fluoride-free. It'll help keep your mouth squeaky clean. So check that out as well when you're checking out and ordering. Just go and get 20% off your first purchase. Visit nativedeodorant.com. Use promo code GHOST during checkout. That's nativedeodorant.com. Use promo code GHOST at checkout and get 20% off your first purchase. These guys are supporting our program, helping us stay on the air during this tough time. Please support them and you'll be happy because your stuff comes right to your door. You don't have to go anywhere. Not that you have much of a choice in many cases, but this is great. It just comes right to your door. NativeDeodorant.com. Use promo code GHOST. Get 20% off your first purchase. We love it. You will too. Hi.
Hi there. This is Tanya in Southwest Virginia. I called you a couple weeks ago. Before about another story that you guys talk sometimes about animal ghosts, and I think I have like a dog ghost that was my own dog, but he only came to me once. This was a few years back when we lived in Missouri, right outside of Branson, actually in Springfield, and we are big Rottweiler owners. We've always had Rotties, and they're great dogs, and we had one. His name was Rock. And he was probably about 7 or 8 and got sick suddenly. And we had him to the vet one time, and I was trying to get him better. And he got sick a couple days later. So I put him in the car and was rushing him down to the vet. And he happened to die in my front seat right next to me. And it was terribly sad. And one night, right after that, I was out in the backyard grilling, and Rock always wore a little choke chain with his dog tag on it, so he would jingle when he ran around. And I was grilling, and it was getting dark, and I heard his collar jingling behind me, like he was running up to me. And for a minute, I forgot that he wasn't with us anymore, and I turned around to greet him, like super happy, like, turn around, hey buddy, and then it stopped, and that's when I remembered that he wasn't there. But I totally believe that was him, because it was it just sounded just like him running up to me, and then there was nothing there. And I know that's a super short story, but anyway, that was all that happened. But I also have another story that happened to us when we lived in Missouri. We moved there from California, and after arriving, I found out that I was pregnant, and I was pregnant with twins. And the house that we had rented when we moved there, it was just a three-bedroom house, so there wasn't room for more kids because I had two older kids, too. And but we had this family room. So when I had the twins, we made them a little nursery in the family room. Well, they were old enough to pull them when they were old enough to, they each had their own crib. And in the family room, it had a door that led out to the front porch. And also it went into the living room. And so when they were probably close to a year old, they were old enough to stand up in their cribs. And they would wake up every single night, like sometimes in the middle of the night, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, just screaming. And I would go in there, and they would be shaking and screaming and crying, standing, both of them standing at the end of their cribs, like looking towards this door. And I thought it was kind of weird, but, you know, they were babies, and I didn't know if one just woke up and woke the other one up or what. And then a couple of years later, this happened for quite a while. And then Georgia, my husband's job transferred us to Georgia, and the boys were probably about, well, they were like three when we moved to Georgia. And then when they were like about four or five, they happened to mention to me, both of them were telling me about the Missouri house, that they didn't like the Missouri house because it had monsters in it, and they would see monsters in their bedroom. So anyways, I just thought that was kind of weird because they couldn't remember waking up screaming because they were so little at the time. But it made me think about that, that was possibly what had scared them every single night. So it makes me wonder what kind of monsters, but like they've never really elaborated on it, but just that was a scary house. They didn't like it. So anyways, that's all I can think of for now. I know I have some more to call in on, but those are my two Missouri stories. So anyways, thank you. Love your show. Bye.
So I think we've had an experience kind of like what she had with her dog.
What?
After Lena died. Because
mm-hmm.
Lena had one of those collars that had the engraved buckle on it. And whenever she'd scratch, you'd hear the loop on the collar bang against that buckle.
Sure.
And we heard that a couple of times after she passed away.
Yeah.
You know, and it's almost like, is it a residual or is she just still telling us she's around or what?
I don't know what that is.
I don't know either.
When that happens, you know, because it's a very routine thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes you go, kind of go, really? Even in death, you still have to deal with fleas and stuff?
Well, it wasn't and itches. Fleas. It was just the itchy collar.
Yeah, that you still have itchy collar. You know, all that. You're like, I guess there's kind of this mindset, like all the things that are bothering you go away, which I don't think is true.
Mm-mm.
I think it's like you still have the same issues. It's just they're not going to kill you because they already have, something already has.
Yeah.
But their annoyances are annoyances. So I don't know. I could see it really going either way or being either thing. I'm not really sure. My parents' cat, Scruff, they would hear her claws going around on the floor right after she died and coughing up hairballs.
Oh, God.
Because she would do that quite a bit. And that's a distinct sound. That's nothing where it's like, oh, it's the air conditioner turning on. It's like, that's a cat hacking up a hairball. And they didn't have any other cats. They still don't have a cat. And so to hear that again, and both of them hearing it, it wasn't like, you know, because I get like when one person hears something, that can just be your mind. You know, because you get so accustomed to hearing certain things at certain times. For the longest time, me, it was hearing my dad leave in the morning and his truck backing out of the gravel driveway.
Yeah.
And I could hear, you know, just that sound of the gravel kind of crunching and then him going up the side by the side of the house. Now, I heard that every day for 18 years in my entire life. And it took a good 5 years to stop hearing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I moved out at 18 and I swear to God, I heard it till I was about 24. every morning I would wake up thinking I was hearing that sound. So that's how your mind can be conditioned mm-hmm. with that stuff. And I knew damn well I wasn't hearing it, but it was like, it was always right when I was waking up, I would hear that sound and I knew there was nothing making that sound.
Sure.
But in my mind, it was just repeating itself over and over. So, you know, with animals, it's a little different because a lot of times it's not necessarily a super set routine for their things. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, you don't itch yourself at, you know, 2:34, you know, it's very specific, you know, it's when they have it. So I don't know. I like to think that maybe it's them haunting us.
Yeah.
And then, you know, being, you know, really pissed off that they're dead and eventually trying to eat us in our sleep.
No.
But, you know, I don't know. I think sometimes it's residual, sometimes it's not. It really just kind of depends. I had the cat, the ghost cat, too. Mm-hmm. That I have more experience with dead animals than I did with dead people.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And it's funny because that's an area where I guess, I mean, I believe it happens. But I guess prior to hearing all of our ghost animal stories, that was an area where, for whatever reason, in my mind, I don't want to say it was like less valid or less believable. That's not what the word I'm looking for, but I guess less common maybe is the word I'm looking for, where maybe it happens, but I think maybe people ghosts are more frequent. I don't know. I think animals are just as frequent, maybe less recognized mm-hmm. Sometimes and just kind of written off as something else. I think there's many times too where there may be a haunting going on in a house and somebody's assuming it is a person.
Sure.
And the assumption is always, you know, who is it? And they're not really considering, oh, it's Mickey, the golden retriever from down the road that died.
Yeah.
You know, it's maybe not always a human. Mm-hmm. And that thing, it's a demon. It's, you know, it's the collie from down the road. So, 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Good afternoon, evening, and morning, everybody that might be listening. I'm not assuming I'm on the show, but I might as well just take a shot in the dark here. That doesn't make sense. Tony, thank you for listening to my story. My name is Jonah from Illinois, and I wanted to tell you a little bit about something I experienced as a child. I was about 8 or 9 years old, and my mom had just bought me one of those train alarm clocks, you know, the little train that went into the like giant mountain kind of cave thing and came back out. It had a pretty distinct alarm when it went off in the morning. And I set that on my bedside. And one night after school and all of my homework was done, I felt a little more tired than usual and decided to go to bed early. And in the middle of the night, I had woken up, and like every child, or, you know, I felt anxious for whatever reason. And I had a bunk bed at the time, and I kept my alarm clock like on my bed mattress because it was like small enough to fit and I wouldn't knock it off in the middle of the night. I looked over the side of the bed and on the ground looked like a child, but he was wearing a black hood and what appeared to be a robe, and he was holding his legs in his arms and he was sitting up just rocking very slowly to himself. And it petrified me. I could not move. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't say anything. My eyes were fixated on him. The thing that has always stuck with me, though, is that it did not look human. It was blue. It was glowing this odd nuclear blue. And its color was irradiating off of the walls around the room. So the room kind of had a blue hue to it. He didn't have a mouth or a nose, and he just had two empty wells where eyes should be, just these pits that went into its face. It seemed like they went nowhere. It was very scary.
and it was just rocking on the floor. And as soon as I shuffled my feet under the covers out of fear, it turned its head and looked up at me and then looked back straight and kept rocking. And I couldn't do anything. So stiff as a board, I just wobbled sideways away from the side of the bed and turned towards the wall and fell asleep and woke up the next morning and nothing was there. No sign of anything. No, you know, scratches on me or my brother who was in the room at the same time. And to this day, I've never been able to explain that. And that's kind of sparked my interest in the paranormal and, you know, the supernatural. So I hope you enjoyed my story. It'd be pretty nifty if it was featured on the show. But otherwise, thank you for having me.
Thoughts?
I personally think child ghosts are scarier. They're scarier than adult ghosts. Because he said this was like a child-sized ghost.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why, but that just terrifies me more than adults.
Is it a fear that it's going to be something other than a child and it's like mimicking something or presenting itself in a way to, you know, make you feel safer or what?
I don't know. I think it's partly that, but I also think it's partly the thought of a dead child is more disturbing than the thought of a dead adult.
Sure. No, I understand that. It's interesting. I mean, you had the childhood imaginary friend, but you didn't really realize till we were doing the show that it was a ghost. So
right, but he didn't have like hollows where his eyes were. I mean, sure. His features were normal. So yeah. He was not scary looking.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, that's the next topic of Dark Side of Wikipedia.
New London?
New London. Do you want to do that one today or should we do that one a different day?
No, we can do that one today. Okay. That's fine.
But we're working on the other podcast, Dark Side of Wikipedia, and there's all different, everything from serial killers to historic, you know, events, tragedies, things of that nature. We're talking about them and covering them. And this one happened in Texas in 1937. I think that it might be somewhat tied into your ghost story.
I went there before my brother was born, my parents and I, mm-hmm. and it wasn't till after that I started seeing Jack.
Yeah.
And he dressed like a little boy from the 1930s.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, you know, obviously I was too little when we went there to understand what had happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even sure the purpose of why we went there. I don't think it was to go to the memorial or anything. I think it was just, we maybe even had to go through there getting somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
But and this was such a large scale tragedy at yeah. the time that they literally took people to the hospital by train carload.
Yeah.
And railroad tracks went from there to the hospital in Tyler right behind my house.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't help but feel like there might be a connection there. I'm not saying that that's positive,
mm-hmm.
but the timing kind of alludes to it.
Yeah, it makes sense.
And why else would a four-year-old start seeing a little boy dressed in 1930s attire?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that just, it all kind of points to that direction.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's a new podcast that we're working on. As of the date of this airing, probably not subscribable yet on iTunes, but stay tuned as we'll be talking more about that in the coming weeks and months. Some other topics that are some of our first episodes, BTK, Dennis Rader, and what was the other one we did?
Ed Gein.
Carol
got to do BTK. I'm sure she had some great insight being in the media during that time.
Which is really interesting. And just living and working right in the area where this shit went down,
mm-hmm.
like the house, the where he had killed a bunch of people is like right down the road from her house.
Yeah.
Anyway, uplifting show, as you can tell.
Yeah.
But we'll have more info on that in the coming weeks and months. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like this program, become an extra podcast person at EPP. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com to get access to all of our advanced episodes, extra episodes, and more. Or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Jen, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.